Phil, where's my meth?
It's stuck in the rectal cavity area. Here we go. Shameless.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, Phil, thank you for starting out. He went along with my dumb plan.
Yes, and.
Yes, and. You did it. Thanks for coming back, everybody. JJ's back. Hi, guys. JJ's back.
I'm so hated missing you last week, but I watched it. It was awesome. And Phil, I was with you. I thought for a second, Frank with the face down and the dog, I thought it was him for a second. I was like, what happened?
Because they didn't hear it last time, where can they find you on social media?
You guys can find me at JJ Juergens and JJ.Juergens on Instagram.
Perfect. Juliet.
Hi. You can find me on Instagram at Bonjour Juliet.
And Phil, where can they find you?
My pager is 666. Just kidding. At Phil Svitek.
And you guys can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Haley Clover. Episode 2, not disappointing me yet. No. Not that it ever does, but, you know, I'm not, I guess, crying yet is what I should say. I'm not there yet emotionally with the season. What did you guys think?
It was great. I think it was a really, really strong episode. So much was happening. And, I mean, you know, they can't all be favorites. And you have those filler episodes. This one definitely wasn't for me.
It was one of your favorites?
Or I mean, was out of this season. Out of two.
There's a 50-50 chance one of these was my favorite.
Exactly.
What about you? Yeah.
I'm loving it. I love this year so far. I thought it's like hearing from all seen. Everybody's involved, it seems, so I like that we're getting a little tidbits of everybody who knows coming together. So, yeah, I'm on this ride. I'm loving it.
And we're finding new things to, you know, it's natural. There's progression, and they have their own conflicts.
Right.
So I love it.
Yeah, it's very true, because sometimes it seems like a character kind of falls to the wayside. Like, their story is maybe not as important, but everyone really does have their own storyline going on right now. There's something to follow with everybody, and that is exciting, because it does feel like they're packing in a lot with every episode. We definitely have a lot to talk about today, but I thought we'd start off on a positive. Kev is cancer-free, everybody!
Yes! He's benign, which I never noticed when that is.
He was like, right. No! Wait, yay!
How funny was it when they were singing Boys to Men when he was getting
off? That was so sweet, though. And then, like, she puts her head on his forehead, and they have, like, a hug.
Head hug.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, well, so we first see him... he's obviously freaking out because he doesn't know yet what his biopsy is going to come back as. And it is different to see, you know, a man go through those emotions. He's getting made fun of at the bar. Everyone's calling it lady cancer, you know. And in true Shameless form, it does make you laugh at the situation. Not that you're laughing at him possibly having cancer, but the way that he reacts to it with his shirts and all that kind of stuff and going to the group counseling. Uh-huh. What did you think about all of that?
It was so great. I loved hearing him list down what he's scared about, and goes from, you know, being scared of losing his wife, you know, not being a father, not being all this, and then not being able to get tips while he's being held up, and like it was just such
take
a funny
his shirt
thing.
Off at the gym.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Those are some big concerns for him.
Right. And what do you think, Phil?
I think this is the perfect example of how they're able to take something so serious and just insert just this absurdity to it, and just kind of it's like a spoonful of medicine with sugar, you know. This is the sugar with, like, and it's progressing it. So especially like the Boys to Men, that in itself, like, you could see this anywhere else, and maybe that as a standalone scene you could watch and cry, but the fact that we know the whole history of him, I was laughing the entire time.
Right.
But not, as you said, not because of the cancer, but because of them.
What I like, too, is that you never know, though. I mean, I could see them taking it as if he would have had cancer. You know, I think that's one thing I love about the show. You can never predict it, because it's like, just when you think it might go one way, they will take it that way.
For sure.
So it's fun to realize it as you're watching.
Yeah, I think I even said last week, I was like, if he does have cancer, I don't know where they're going with it.
Right.
Like, I couldn't see that as much as I could see him not having cancer. But it's just one of those Shameless things, like, they bring up something that you necessarily don't think about. Like, I think there's probably still some men out there that don't realize that they can get breast cancer. It's not as common, obviously, in women, but it is something that actually happens, and you never really hear any of those stories or follow anyone that.
I thought it was a really cool moment when, you know, there's our humor around it, of course, but he's going around and people in the bar and asking them, like, when's the last time you got a check?
Right.
And it is humorous, but it's like, yeah, no, we should be having these conversations. Mm-hmm. That's kind of cool that Seamus always does that, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. I personally want one of those fuck cancer shirts.
Yes. That was so powerful when they were just all chanting and, like, praying on each other. And they're like, 1, 2, 3, fuck cancer. 1, 2, 3, fuck cancer. It, like, was a workout class and a spiritual class. It was cool.
For sure. Well, you definitely need that, moral support when you're going through something like that. It's huge to have that type of energy around you. But I'm just glad he's cancer-free.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see what's next for them. We'll get to, you know, scenes from next week. But we saw that Kevin V have now taken back the alibi.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
They're getting rid of all of the Russian, you know, paraphernalia that's in the bar. Yeah. Is this going to last? What do we think?
I don't know. My brain screwed because we saw the preview.
Right. Well, so did everyone. So let's just talk about it.
Okay.
Somebody comes in next time that's like, yeah, Svetlana told me I could buy the bar, so I'm coming back to take care of the bar.
Right.
Another Russian.
Like she was a real estate agent, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
so
okay.
I think she's hired a real estate agent. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, like, it's no big spoiler to say that we knew that Svetlana was coming back in one way, shape, or
right,
form.
Right, right.
You know, maybe not. We didn't predict this particularly, but that's going to be their big thing throughout. I would predict the whole season.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know? It's funny. I thought of it being something that would come back maybe much later on. I felt like we would leave them with a few episodes at least of them just kind of living their life. And I feel like they just have that tidbit of cancer scare for a day, and then we're back to another episode.
Yeah. It's just shameless. Yeah. They don't get off easy.
That's very true. Yeah. Maybe they'll just have a bunch of little storylines like that with the bar on top of everything.
Exactly. You're right. Seamus is like an emotional roller coaster. You never know what to expect. Just twists and turns and everything.
They
all
do. They pile the shit on.
They do.
It's
they
like,
do.
Yeah, we'll just throw this one into the fire, too.
Oh, I love the show.
Me too.
I really do.
Let's do the positives of these storylines, and then we'll get into the deeper emotional ones. Fiona, boss lady.
Yeah.
I'm loving this storyline, and I'm loving these characters that live in her apartment. I know.
Wolf.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Give
Wolf.
Your best dog. Your
that,
best
that
dog impression.
That was as good as it got.
I think her impression's kind of like good. It's hysterical. That
I can't wait to see
favorite.
This lady. Yeah.
Will we ever see her?
Yes. So
eventually,
thinking,
I think.
I don't know. Maybe it's like a Big Bang Theory. You know, you never see the mom of one of the characters. I see that happening. I don't think we're gonna see this.
Or
lady.
Like we see her getting evicted and she actually has a dog.
That'd be kind of cool. That'd be pretty neat. Out of all those people, who did you think was going to pay up? Were you surprised that she got one check at least at the end? Or
I loved how he did pay with the two needles.
I predicted out of all people that wasn't going to pay.
You thought it'd be him?
Yeah. he could barely like think.
Yeah.
Not surprised at all about the mom with all the kids. She's not paying, and we see Fiona use Debbie's welding skills to get the metal door frame off, and she throws her the eviction notice.
Yeah.
So you think we'll see more of the actual eviction, or do you think now it's just like...
I don't know. I do think that she didn't handle that situation as well as she should have, because it's like...
Who, Fiona or the mom?
The mom, because like Fiona was really... trying to be there for her in a way, and she could have been, you know, milking it for a long time.
Right.
And I feel like her reaction kind of pushed her to be evicted. Yeah.
Completely agree. Because, like, she was trying to work with her. You know, you have a landlord willing to do that. Like, okay, what can we do? Give me half here. She didn't. Yeah. So now I love that Fee just turned right away and was like, all right, fine. You know?
Yeah.
Even
if I think the check was like $20, she would have probably been like, okay, like, I'll give her another week or whatever, but she told her, what did the actual check say? Did anyone write it down?
Something to the cock-sucking...
Yeah.
Sell out.
For one cent.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's just a bitch.
Exactly. Like you're saying, you're right. I think Fiona, I mean, it would have been a big dilemma again for her, but still... anything would have done, any amount. But that was just so insulting.
And even, like, Lip says when Fiona's like, yeah, I had this bitch run out on me. And he's like, oh, it's a total Gallagher thing to do. Like, it's not like she hasn't done it 100 times.
Exactly.
Like, she totally gets it. Mm-hmm. But she never necessarily did that to somebody, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, she also never had a landlord, you know what I mean? Like,
well, true.
That's the whole point, is that she's trying to do things a little bit differently. And
yeah, but we've seen people throughout the seasons knock on her door and ask for cash, ask for money, ask for something, and she always figures out a way, you know, a smart way to get that money, and she doesn't insult the people at the door, even though she might be mad.
Well, let's be fair. That's the difference. The Gallaghers, they always came together, you know, whatever. We hoard people out. We sold drugs. We did what we needed to do to make rent.
It wasn't necessarily
rent.
Good right. things, yeah.
But whereas, like, these kids,
yeah,
these kids are terrible. They, you know, they're not productive in any sense.
Yeah.
Well, and she had a job, but that money is clearly just, you know, going to the kids, I guess. She wasn't even, trying
at
all.
She wasn't cooperative.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, so.
Gotta be
the bitch is out.
And communicative.
Yep. Yeah. Well, I'm excited to see Fiona get that place looking great because, you know, the couple that moved in episode one, they're already paying over rent. You know, if she gets all these people out and flips the place a little bit, I mean, she'll be making money.
Right. I mean, like, we saw her paint, like, a wall, and that was pretty it. And, like, and it doubled like that. Like, I kind of want to see maybe we get some designer skills.
Mm-hmm.
Fiona, maybe it's, like, completely redoing those things. Mm-hmm. Gets a show on that what's the network?
HGTV.
Yeah, maybe. Well,
because, like, the stairway is gorgeous in the old building.
It is. It's really pretty. What do we think about her and the other tenant, her new lady friend? Do we see any developments, or has your mind changed about what their relationship might be in the future?
I feel like this episode they were way less flirty.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really know where that the relationship is going to go, but even just their friendship right now, I'm really enjoying, like, their complicity.
I think there's going to be something down the road. I think whether it's, like, once she gets everybody out and then they're, like, doing maybe a celebratory glass of wine maybe some night or something like that. I think at some point, I mean, I guess it's a prediction, but I'll put it now. I think we might have a kiss over a glass of wine or something like that that leaves her, like, because she's wanted connection.
Right.
They're going to talk and have some connection.
Right.
Here's the good. She could always talk to V and be like, hey, how was it? Because V has experience in this department. Now, granted, not with someone she likes at the moment. In fact, quite the opposite, but nonetheless, if she's willing to put that aside, she can give her legitimate advice in the lady areas.
Well, we'll see, because they talked about how she's going through fertility treatments now to try to have a baby, so who knows?
Yeah, she's in a serious relationship. So.
Yeah, with a girl who, like, is such a bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she totally loves it, though. That's her type.
Mm-hmm.
That bitchy blondes.
Bitchy blondes.
Yeah. Another Gallagher that is using his current situation, to better himself is Liam. Liam is at, well, so we hated his school last week because they were just such dicks, making him be the only, you know, black kid for their diversity rant. But he has a good friend who is just totally wealthy. I mean, his house was ridiculous. But he stays over and he's, like, in a totally different world. Talk about this, this storyline a little bit.
So the friend's name is Dylan. And what I like is that at the end of the day, Dylan is unencumbered by this friendship. He's just loving it. You know what I mean? He's just innocent. He's just being a kid. Whereas it's obviously the parents that are passing this sort of judgment. And you know what? I also like Dylan for the simple fact that he actually does listen to his parents. Because, you could see where it's like the stereotypical rich kid and he's got it all. And so he's just rebelling for the sake of rebelling because he's got nothing else going on. So I think it's a great friendship. I doubt they will be friends going forward.
Or he's at least not allowed to go to Liam's house anymore. I mean, it's a free-for-all once you get to the Gallaghers.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, Dylan didn't care. Like, they had so much fun. They had KFC, and they were jumping on the couch and spraying Sprite all over the place. But, it's the... and his brothers don't help when he's leaving.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah.
Like, you know what? Like, just at least try to...
That was so good, though.
I didn't like that. I thought that was rude. Like, poor Liam can't get a break. He's at this fancy school, like we mentioned, and, like, they're not being in the school, not that great. He finally has a friend and they're scaring off the parents. Like, I get it was funny, but it's like, come on.
It's just so Gallagher. Like, they all screw with each other. They do. They all screw with their
siblings. I agree with you on that point, though, too. Like, it was funny, but yeah, I feel like, poor kid, you know? Like, he's already just dealing with so much, and let that one go.
Yeah. But Liam was living the life. Like, it was insane. You're like, seeing him at that house, and like you only have one bathroom when you walk in, and it's like this luxury, like almost looked like a 5-star hotel in there, and it was just this little kid,
right? But he had a walk-in closet for all of his shoes, and he's, "What, you swipe all these?" And he's like, "No, my parents bought them for me." But yeah, that would be your first reaction.
But what was cool, and you kind of touched on that, is just to see these kids, like, no matter what, they were both equally as happy in each other's home. Mm-hmm. That was really neat.
It's too.
Yeah, it's awesome. Okay, so let's get into the characters now that are not as stable or kind of going somewhere where we're a little bit, like, uncomfortable with it. Ian, all of a sudden is having these, you know, emotions about Monica, which everyone is making fun of him because they've all moved on. They don't care about her, didn't have a relationship with her. And Ian, you know, all of a sudden is missing her. And whether they like it or not, or he liked it or not, he did have some type of relationship with her that the others didn't have.
Yeah.
May not have been positive, but it was a period of time that he spent with her. His actions are just a little bit, you know, I think concerning to Fiona, if we could see. What do you guys think?
Well, I mean, his reactions are very reactive, for lack of a better term. But I do understand, like, he is the only one missing her because, in a way, his mom was the only one who really fully understood what he was going through.
Right.
Mm-hmm. With mental illness. And as much as everyone's been there for him and are trying to relate, she truly was the only one who could fully understand.
Right.
So mm-hmm. that's, like, a very special connection. And so I kind of understand her missing him.
Yeah.
Right. What do you think, JJ?
Yeah, no, I agree, too. I mean, I can see why he's having a tough time with this.
Do you think this is something that brings back his, you know, mental illness? I mean, he's still taking his medicine for all we know.
Yeah.
I don't know too much about to know whether there's, like, triggers that can still, while you're on your medicine, you know, affect your emotions.
Maybe. I think what we've seen over the seasons is there's definitely ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, maybe that could be a development. I don't know. What do you think? Or what do you think?
I think the fact that he's talking about it, you know, I think he's sort of trying to handle in a certain way that mm-hmm. isn't as destructive in the past. And I think for lack of a better thing, you know, there's times, like, now that she's gone, like, you know, I think when you take the tattoo parlor shop, the fact that, you know, there's no physical pain, I think that, right. A, he's receiving, but I think more so that he can inflict, because at least, like, you know, there's a side to you, like, when Frank's alive, like, the fact that you can punch him in the face, you know, not the best thing in the world, but at least you can get your anger out and be like, you're a piece of shit, Frank,
and, right.
you know. Move on with your day, perhaps, but
you can't do that. Here, you can't. Yeah, it's true. He gets that tattoo to commemorate his mom, which
amazing.
We see doesn't go well. He must have just asked for, like, you know, he's getting a picture of this girl and maybe her name. We didn't get to see the full tattoo, right. But the guy's like, "Oh, it's not your girlfriend." Like, I wish you would have told me that before I started these titties. Oh, God.
Which you do wonder what the conversation would, you know, like,
was.
You're getting a tap, yeah.
Ian's probably all up in his head and just overthinking about everything, and he just kind of walks in and gives very little detail. Like,
yo,
I just want this name, this cartoon, yeah, do it. And it's kind of like they're at a bar in a way, and they're just talking over his problems, and now he has huge titties on his back.
Hey, listen, that could tie back to, I feel like with Kev's help, they could do like a breast cancer awareness.
Yeah. Good. Very true. Very true. I think that, I like that.
Save the tatas.
How is sex going to be for him after this is my main concern.
Sex with the tattoo.
You think Chubbs cares?
Yeah. Oh, boy. That was...
Shameless has had some scenes that are just honestly for me really difficult to watch. And this was one of them. Like, I was just like, that was too much. I'm sorry. People might think that's rude, but it's too much for me.
Everyone has their own opinion. It's totally fine.
It just seems so dirty, and like, there people in the back of them. Where were they? In a trailer or something?
Well, I think that was the other two, right? Trevor and the other guy.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's what was making me cringe. I thought that was so
upsetting. I think out of the two, Ian got the better guy.
I know, but Ian likes him. He likes him. He's trying to win him back. Yeah. And then they're both, like, getting it on with someone. Like, it's
to me,
so
it was almost
weird.
Like a... Well, yeah, that part is so definitely weird to me, too. It almost kind of seemed like a punishment, like a fun punishment from Trevor. Because he keeps giving him the old dig about, like, well, there I was with this guy and I was really in love with him, but then he went away for 3 days to Mexico and blah, 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 blah. And I had to go hang out with these people who just, you know, adored me. So now you're going to see what it's like, too.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know. I honestly have never really liked him.
Trevor.
Yeah, I think he's always not been, he's been kind, but he just always, there's something that's a little malicious or just not healthy. I don't think that's a healthy relationship.
Interesting.
I really don't. That made me so uncomfortable.
Well, I mean, it's obviously not healthy if, you know, Ian feels like he can run away and, you know, kind of disconnect from that so easily. Mm-hmm. Or they're at least not, you know, in that type of place yet together. I don't know. Mm-hmm. He seems to really like him, though. Yeah. I don't know. I think there's also a lot of firsts with Trevor.
Yeah, that's
there always true. Was, and there's something interesting about that to Ian, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Ian's always liked those types of relationships, because even when he was with Mickey, I feel like that's, this situation we saw tonight, Mickey would have, we've seen him do something similar. I feel like
there's a lot of exploration.
Push the limits.
Exactly, definitely. There you go. That's what I was,
Yeah. Agree. Debbie is, is really disappointing me. Like, a lot. Oh, one, it's really hard to see somebody ever be a bad mom.
Yeah. She bounced well, though, after that baby. I was noticing. I'm like, you look good. Like, you're intense, whatever. But, like, she knows that, like, beautiful hair, tossing it around, those tight dresses. Like, she's feeling herself and being a little kid.
Well, and that's the thing. Like, she hasn't had that time to do that yet. And I totally get that. And I can't judge her being a mother, I guess, because I don't know what it's like. But being able to leave your child so easily with somebody, and also being a bad girlfriend, maybe that's bothering me even more. Mm-hmm. She's just throwing her, like, the baby is being taken care of, but just throwing it at Neil is, like, killing me. He's such a nice guy, and he totally saved her, saved, you know, Franny, and now she's just like, screw you, dude.
That's what's driving me crazy about her again, as I thought we were starting to see her get better and get more responsible and stuff, and then to see the way she's treating him, and then he's on the ground, you know,
just fake,
she's
falling, just out of fake falling,
yeah, going to those extremes.
She walks over him.
Just, yeah, I feel like she just so easily then to go dump it on the grandma again. You know, it's like she just is always just about her and what she wants to do and what's best. I feel like we just took a bunch of steps backwards.
Yeah,
again with her.
It's the first hot guy that comes around, and she's just like, totally.
Massage my hair.
Yeah, how about her having an orgasm while that guy...
That was, because I've known her since a very young age, it's, a little disturbing. Yeah. A little disturbing.
I will say, there is nothing like someone that gives a good head shampoo when you go get your hair done. Oh my god, it's like the best thing ever.
Yeah. I've never had one to that extreme, but I mean, I believe it. Yeah. It is amazing.
It's so good. I could totally sit there and be like, oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Just a little deeper right there. Yep. For sure.
So these hickeys, agreed? Are they hair hickeys? Like, they're just...
Hair hickeys?
Well, she keeps having a...
But it's not a neck
noticed,
hickey.
Neil noticed the hickey, and then Fiona noticed the hickey, so it's gotta be the hair, dude.
Oh,
yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Alright, so at least that's curling the saving
iron.
Grace.
He did her hair after. She can blame it on the curling iron.
Yeah, for sure. Like, we all done.
Right. Or just wear, like, a big scarf when it's not cold out.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Mm-hmm. Any other thoughts on Debbie and where her storyline is going?
I mean, she's being a teenager. That's all I can...
But you don't get that choice.
Right. I know, obviously you don't, but let's not, like, you don't get that choice, and yes, but that's just who she is, and that's how she's acting as a teenager.
But what drives me crazy is she tries to play, like, she screams for, don't treat me like that, and we've seen her over the years, like, not want to be treated like a teenager, and want to have respect, and want to have show that she can be a mom, and she's responsible enough to be this parent, but then she shows that she's not.
But that's being a teenager, is what I'm saying, is that you want to be an adult, and you want to do it all, but you also really want to have fun. And then, like, when responsibilities come knocking at your door, you're like, what? No. Because you know, okay, you feel more strength.
But I get that. But I guess you cannot expect to not be judged then on, you know, from somebody that's...
I think she doesn't care who judges her.
I don't think so either.
I think it's different as a teenager, and it's different when you choose to be a teenage mom. You make that choice to be a mom, you're foregoing a lot of your rights as a teenager.
She didn't, like, have an accent.
Yeah, she...
She purposefully sought this out.
Mm-hmm. Because she was, we even said last week, it's awesome. She's got a job. She's, you know, there's still totally a way to have a job, go out for a drink every once in a while with your friends after work. Mm-hmm. But, like, it's becoming an every night thing now.
It is. And like you're saying, she wasn't an accident, so she chose to be a mom.
Yeah.
So spend time with your baby.
Who's very cute, by the way.
And again, who did it as in basically she raped him. So it wasn't, you know.
She didn't, whoa. She didn't rape
him. Yes, she did.
She raped him.
This is a good point because I forgot how it all started.
That's what I'm saying.
It wasn't like a, oops, we had teenage sex and this
and I'm
happened.
Pregnant. It's
it
was, like, she
I purposely,
chose.
Yeah.
That is so
it's sick.
But we even skipped the step. It's not like they agreed, like, hey, let's both have a kid. We're into step three.
Right.
So.
It's three on one, Juliet.
Okay.
Moving on. And moving on. Frank, I guess we could have lumped him into the good things. I'm just still cautious.
Rightly so.
Yeah, he's hilarious, though. He's now working at lumber, lighting, and
lawns.
Getting promoted.
How funny was his interview? So, have you guys ever had an interview where you've been like way too honest about something? Has there ever been that situation? And if
every
so,
every time
what
I do this
it?
Show,
I know I haven't asked you anything about your penis yet. It's coming. Don't worry. Poor word choice.
Yes.
Anywho, back to my interview question.
Frank.
Yeah, but has anybody ever had a too honest moment in an interview or in a time when maybe you probably shouldn't have been too honest?
I don't think so.
Not in that way. I mean, certainly not. You know, I mean, Frank was just as honest as could be.
And it worked out in his favor, which was fun to see. The guy just starts crying all of a sudden. You're like, uh-oh, like, here comes another woman story. Yeah, and as of now, he's still being that, you know, good citizen, and he's trying to manage the guys that he works with and have them be good citizens. And
not go on disability.
Right, which
everyone
is...
Everyone needs to be very safe.
What do is this gonna last? Like, what do we think? Do you even like the storyline of him trying to be like a good person right now?
I mean, it's definitely a storyline we've seen in the past. We really have through different shapes or forms, but I don't know. I think it was cool seeing him get pride out of working and, you know, having a cell phone.
Which he did buy with his
checking account,
which he doesn't have any money yet.
Yeah.
So there's still some things. He's working on it.
But it was kind of cool because I felt like, in a way, it looked like someone who had just gone out of jail or out of a cult of some kind and, like, they're stepping into the real world. Mm-hmm. It was really funny.
How about that guy at the bank, too?
Like, he's just so much something.
I just need anything. He gives him a freaking mint. And he's like, great, I'll go get your checks.
I want this to work out because it would be a good message to show that anyone could redeem themselves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, last season was really getting the full backstory of Frank, because we've always hated, like, the fact that we, you know, by season six, we really hated Frank. Mm-hmm. And at least, like, now we know the backstory.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? I think people could change. You know, we've always thought Frank could change, but you know what? Maybe this is it.
Yeah, but what I didn't like is that he blamed all of it on Monica. Whereas I get it, that kind of love can mess someone up. But, I mean, she was gone for several years at certain points. And it's just like, you can't blame everything on Monica. Now Monica is gone, you're going to be a great person. You have to own that part of you is just not
baby
that.
Steps. Baby steps. Like, let's...
Yeah. I know what you're saying, though. Yeah. Monica, well, I was going to say Monica didn't, you know, shove a needle in you. But that probably isn't true. She may have at some point. But for the most part, a lot of those choices were his.
I mean, if someone tells you to jump and then you jump, it's not fully their fault.
Right, you did it.
Yeah.
But yes, I also get what you're saying, Phil. It's not going to happen overnight. This guy's been doing it for his whole life.
Yeah.
Since he was 20 and met Monica. Yeah, I mean, good old Frank.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Okay, so Lip. I am on the fence with his storyline right now and, like, where he's going and how he's handling trying to be sober. What do you guys think? I'd like to know your reactions to all this.
I mean, he's definitely in a toxic environment. You know, having to see the person you're in love with, your ex, every day must be really hard, regardless of your situation, you know, addict or not addict, trying to recover, not recover. That's hard. And then you have to see them with their significant other. Like, that's a lot to handle emotionally, and he's just stuck in it.
Right.
Yeah. So I think it's a lot. It was a very interesting development, but if you want to go ahead.
Yeah. No, I agree, too. And then being with not only that, you have the layer of the child, and then to be the father of the child. And there's, yeah, I definitely think it's a situation that he needs to be removed from and not. Yeah. It's
should
not
he be babysitting, or should she even be letting him babysit? No. I don't even like that she lets him, because it's like, really, girl, stop leading him on or like making him think like maybe there's still some type of relationship we can have, even if it's just friends. Like, that's, they just can't be friends right now.
I don't know. He's really good with the kid. He claims that he enjoys spending time with the kid. Imagine myself as an overwhelmed, you know, single mom. You kind of take it. You know, your child's in good hands. Like, it's, I don't think it's that cruel.
Well, here's the thing. She was as honest as she could be. Like, whether or not I agree with it, she said, like, hey, it's because I'm going on a date. I'm going out on a date with Charlie. So, like, at the end of the day, you know, she said what she needed to say.
Right.
You know, then the choice is really up to him. As far as the Hawaiian pizza was concerned, I feel definitely, you know, if I think he's over-inserting himself in more ways than one. And if you have any shot at getting her back, if that's what your goal is, then just work on yourself and don't focus on him.
Well, and his sponsor keeps telling him that. Like, stop being emotionally invested. Like, you cannot be emotional towards the situation at all. And I think that goes back to what you said. If he's seeing her every day, that's never going to happen.
Yeah, and putting himself in that situation, like what she was saying, you know, taking care of the kid is just a little too much. I really enjoyed his sober companion or friend who says, just get a plant and worry about that. I think that's a great model for life.
Get a plant. They're hard to keep alive, which is why I buy a succulent, because those are almost impossible to kill, but I'm sure I will find a way.
No, it was cool. I actually saw, there's a Sandra Bullock movie about recovery, and that's what they were saying. One guy asked, you know, when can I start dating again? And it's true, it's part of the whole program where I believe the time, I forget the timeline, but it was like the first, buy a plant, keep that for a year, then buy a dog, keep that for 2 years. If by that time both are still alive, you can consider a dating.
Interesting, But yeah, I mean, you do have to learn how to take care of yourself and something else. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally get that. I like Lip's, you know, eagerness to go and get rid of that cocaine, and you know, he does totally feel bad about what he did, and he realizes that it was a total dick move. But it's like the constant, like, bad thing, then we'll fix it, and then I'm doing something bad again, then I'll fix it, then I'm like, like, does it ever stick? I don't know.
Is this gonna be good? That, I mean, could him and Charlie actually hang out?
Well, so now it's like, does he pretend to be friends with this guy now so that he gets closer? You know, again, like, I don't know.
I hope this was a wake-up call for him, because, yeah, that was a lot. That was intense with that dog. And
which, by the way, he needs to go to the hospital. Yeah, did you see his leg? So, like, get your ass to the ER. You need stitches, like a lot of fun.
It's not like he has breast cancer. Come on. Yeah.
I was glad he dumped it, though, because for a second I thought he was going to run out with it, like, out back out the window, and then maybe somebody had seen him busting in there and called the cops or something. I don't know. For some reason, I thought he was going to get, you know? Something bad, so I was glad at least when he dumped it.
Yeah, same.
But at least he's just doing with the dog bite.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're going to see these two become friends. Like, we, like, hang out for real.
Right. You know? I think it'll definitely play a part in him watching Lucas still. He'll be like, oh my god, I love that he wants to watch him. Like, or let's all hang out and get, you know, whatever. I don't know.
Let's all get plants.
They're all going to just sit around and water their plants. He did get a plant. Yeah. So he at least took that advice.
Yeah.
He's still running.
He's going to be the most in-shape dude.
I can't wait.
Yeah. Juliet's obsessed. I love it. Let's get into some predictions quick, even though we gave some already.
And now, you're after Buzz TV.
Predictions. Coming to you first, Phil.
Let's see.
If you have one. If you don't, that's okay. We already said
the biggest sort of, I mean, the title of the episode is called Where's My Meth? And it's because apparently in the storage unit, there was a leftover guy who, you know, whatever meth that was, you know, that this was, I'm sure Monica stole from him. And so now, rightfully, he wants it back. And this will be a fun development, how it happens and goes. It looks like it's going to go to deep lengths.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like this is, we got now. It feels like we got the mob on us, and I don't think the Gallaghers have ever dealt with like an actual organized mob.
Right. Well, especially with, you know, Carl still moving it all.
I thought we're done. I thought we moved everything.
Well, except for the stuff that Fiona hid.
Okay.
He will. There's 2 pounds left of this this meth, and it's with Monica in her casket.
Let's move it over to Dylan's, right? Because it's Liam's and hers.
Yeah, yeah, they didn't let Liam have any, and she didn't want hers.
So let's move it to Dylan's.
Oh my gosh.
Everybody's safe there. No one's
yeah.
gonna.
Yeah, true.
Someone's grave is getting dug up.
Yeah.
Like, for sure.
I agree with that.
Oh my gosh.
But when do you think Fiona actually, like, spills the beans? Because nobody knows. She's the only one. Yeah. She took it to the grave.
She took it to the grave. Nice one.
Thank you.
I don't know. I think this guy that we're going to see in the next episode is going to create a really big threat. I think bigger than we think. So,
well, yeah, he finds out. Mm-hmm. Frank's like, they don't know. He doesn't know where we live, and somehow he makes it on over.
Yeah, so I think that's going to push Fiona to be like, okay, we got to get this handled with. So, yeah, we'll see. I'm nervous because Carl is trying to be, you know, so into this army stuff. I am nervous about him. I feel like he's going to get caught or in trouble during the summer, and that's going to compromise his back to school.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, me too. I kind of said mine earlier. I don't have another one on top of that yet.
That's okay. That's right. That was a lot for this week.
Mm-hmm. Definitely was. Oh, such a good episode.
It was. Okay, well, until next week, JJ, where can everybody find you?
You guys can find me at JJ Jurgens on Twitter and JJ.Jurgens on Instagram.
You can find me at Bonjour Juliette or Bonjour Juliette.
So
whatever
pretty.
One you like.
So pretty.
At Phil Svitek.
You guys can find me at Haley Clover. I won't be here next week with Boo. You guys. Boo. That's okay, and then I'll be back the following week.
Yay.
So we will see you then. Thanks for watching, everybody.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.